And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Got a bunch of texts already. All right, so if you heard my monologue, it was on my wife, who likes to say, I say what I say, and I don't know how to respond to that. But it's also, the whole thing was about knowing why you believe what you believe so you can say what you say and not have it undermined. So I'm going to get to that. There's probably a few text messages in here about that. And then there's also the thing I just sent a saying about Officer Jonathan Diller in New York. Jeff Mendiana says, Phil, I always tell my Kentucky wife that I found one that wasn't barefoot and pregnant and brought her back to Indiana, the promised land. Nice. Anyway, he also says he just passed his first ever Tesla truck out on the road. Still had dealer tags on it, taking a picture of it with a Sweet Home Alabama welcome sign in the background. Nice. That's like a unicorn. Alif Mathen says, good word, Colonel. It reminds me of Holly Hunter's famous line from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's, I have spoken my piece. That's the word that's what I was looking for. You ever watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Do you like that movie? Do you not like the movie, or you just
haven't seen it?
Oh, man, you got it. Listen, that one's like, there are more one-liners in that one movie than like perhaps ever. But yeah, I have spoken my piece. Oh, don't. No, you haven't. I have spoken my piece. That's hard. Jenny from Decatur, sends me a meme about Biden. I see it. And he's not joking. Yeah. He always says that. You're right. He always says that when he's clearly being dishonest. No joke. Okay. It's a joke. Crystal, cousin Crystal from Moulton says, nothing wrong with a good sassy woman. Hello, Miss Charlene. There you go. Scott from Russellville says, thoroughly enjoyed that monologue, and I'll stand by that. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you, man. Bob from Arab says, Colonel Phil, Colonel Bob checking in on the net. Some faith-based Bible support for your monologue on the importance of being prepared to give an informed response. Ephesians 4:14 says, quote, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Outstanding. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your service, too, by the way. JT from Lacey Springs says, one of those moments. A few years back, the lamp stands beside my recliner. The wife asks, will you flip the light off, to which I did. After the look and the laugh, she says, will you turn off the light? Flipping off items has been retired. Oh, nice. We went from reading scripture to flipping off the light. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Speaking of nicknames, how's Boomer McQueen doing these days? Hope they're succeeding tremendously at their new gig. They are doing well. I talked to them the other day, as a matter of fact. So thank you for asking, John. I'll pass that on. Wow. But the text messages are flowing today, brother. Devin from Brownsboro. How are those strict gun laws in New York City working out? My thoughts and prayers are with the fallen brother in blue and his mourning family. We support the thin blue line and respect the men and women who wear the badge. Thank you, Devin. That's Devin in Brownsboro. Frank from Huntsville says, New York police officers are quitting in droves because they are fed up. And I picked up 3 Huntsville police officers' dinners just this past weekend. I called their waitress to my table and told them I wanted to buy their dinner. Thank you for doing that, Frank. That's huge. And that's what I'm talking about, y'all. I mean, listen, it's a hard gig. You have no idea. I mean, can you imagine? I've done a few ride-alongs. I went on some task force roundups when I was in the state senate because I supported my locals a lot, and they would say, come along. But listen, you have no idea. In your little hometowns, what they see and have to put up with. I mean, the abuse they take when they show up at 2 in the morning in a rural part of the county by themselves for a domestic call, which are the worst. Or for that matter, a drug bust at the Holiday Inn where other good people are staying in the room right next door. I mean, it goes on and on and on, the things they have to see. And not only that, but the devastation to lives. Keith from Parts Unknown says, I'm a retired AICO. I don't know what that means. The job that law enforcement does on our streets is simply heroic. May God bless them all. Well, thank you for...
You forgot the last part.
What did I say? He said, oh, we're all tied. Sorry. I must have been like subliminally just looking aside from that part. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. He says the jobs that Leos do on our streets is simply heroic. God bless them all. And I agree. Two more, and then I'll move on to my topic. Bud from Danville says, Phil, if Biden's running circles around his staff, it doesn't say much about his staff. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And then John from Elkmont says, I'm with you fellers. Rattle on. All right, listen, we're gonna kick over into a new topic here momentarily. Karma. You're welcome to text in or call in. In fact, the phones are already ringing. 833-687-4448. Karma. What are we talking about there? Well, you know, it's gotten to be more of a pop culture phrase. You know, karma is a, well, it's tough. How about that? It's a family show. So I'm going to say karma is just rough. Karma. That time when that thing you did came back around to bite you, right? That time when, you know, something that you've been saying about others winds up being the thing you have to deal with. And I got some karma to talk about. Before I do that, though, I can tell I already got one call that's about the monologue. So before I go any further, I'll take Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, sir. I hope you all are also.
We are indeed.
I just wanted to mention backing up what you know is right, even though it's going to be difficult. Remember, today is Maundy Thursday, which represents the sorrow on the day that Jesus passed away. And he did what he said he would. He died on the cross for us and took torture and went through it anyway. So,
absolutely,
just
man.
Wanted to mention that.
Oh, absolutely.
Y'all have a good one.
We're going to focus some on Good Friday tomorrow, too, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you.
All right.
Listen, karma. You know what? I get the biggest kick out of watching things come back around. Like, you know, when they've been so ostentatious, by the way, it's a great Scrabble word, ostentatious, fallacious, salacious.
How do you spell that?
It's a big word. O-S-T-E-N-T-A-T-I-O-U-S. Ha, how you like me now?
Nice.
I said it so fast, you're not sure if I spelled it right or not. But yeah, the bottom line is when things go around and then come back around, it just gets humorous. And I found so many stories, I kept going, well, that's his karma. And I read the next one. I went, karma sucks, doesn't it? And then I found another one. I went, well, they got a little dose of karma. How about this one? Fannie Willis. Oh, yeah. Our favorite district attorney from Atlanta. The one who was caught with Loverboy. The one who has been called on the carpet now. So she is in the process of what the world largely agrees appears to be a completely political hack job against not just President Trump, but 18 other people from Trump's camp, to include his former lawyers and all of it. And did so in such a way as to really draw attention more to herself and her own actions. And then, oh, by the way, alleging that Trump supplied false information to the court, which is still a subject of debate because the judge reviewed it and made her get rid of one of her attorneys, her lover boy, and even threatened to have her removed from the case. And even today, there was a hearing about whether or not that should proceed forward. Fannie Willis, who's all about Trump did this and we're going to prove that, and bad things happen when people like Trump are allowed to keep moving forward and, you know, misappropriations and mistruths and misinformations, and then all of a sudden karma comes back. So I got this piece from townhall.com. Fannie Willis is now being investigated by Congress, and she's calling it politically motivated. And I have to look at that and go, pot, meet the kettle, please, because this is what we've been seeing. Fannie Willis is nothing but political. Nothing but political. And yet now, by the way, on totally separate matters, don't think for a second that what we're looking at here is, hey, you're investigating Trump. We want to see your files. No, it's not like that. We have a whistleblower from her office that says that there was a great misappropriation of funds from a federal grant. What? Yeah. So Jim Jordan has threatened her with contempt of Congress because she refuses to respond to a subpoena. She finally came around after refusing to send documents in multiple times and said, fine, I'll start sending them in, and we're operating in good faith here, and we'll do what we can to supply you with the information. But we're very busy, and we're not going to be derailed, in her words, to meet unreasonable deadlines in your politically motivated investigation of this office. Now who's politically motivated? The subpoena, by the way, was issued in the wake of a whistleblower coming forward to accuse Fannie Willis's office of squandering a large Department of Justice grant. It was a grant that was meant to fund the creation of a youth advocacy center, basically a youth center. And then all of a sudden, huge amounts of those expenses went to swag and big trips. And all of a sudden, the money does not seem to be there. $500,000 almost in a federal grant to establish the Fulton County Center of Youth Empowerment and Gang Prevention Center. And really have nothing to show for it. What happened to the $488,000, Fannie? Well, Congress wants to know, since it was a federal grant. And she thinks, after all that we've seen right now, she thinks that this is politically motivated. And that, my friends, is karma. Big Rig mixing the applause with the laugh track. That's awesome. All right, how about this one? Karma. I like it when karma comes back around to people that thought they had it going on. How about this one? You seen the Venezuelan TikTok influencer? You seen him. That guy's about as irritating. He gets on the screen and starts telling illegals, come to America. It's free, man. They give you all the stuff and tells them how to cheat the systems. Tells them how to get by. Literally, even this past week, did a video with 500,000 followers telling them how they can seize uninhabited homes in the U.S. by squatting. And went on to claim he has friends who've taken over 7 homes illegally using tactics like this. Come to America. It's great. Well, okay, so now all of a sudden his TikTok has been deleted, but his Instagram account's still active. And on his Instagram account, he thought it'd be cool to sit there next to his baby daughter and flash a bunch of $20 bills and talk about how all you slaves out there are going to remain slaves. And what he's basically saying was he's getting free money without having to work while the rest of us are actually doing jobs. Well, just so you know, he's now reportedly wanted by federal authorities. Leon, thank you. Thank you very much for the karma. Thank you. Leonel Moreno, according to the New York Post, was enrolled in a program called Alternatives to Detention. And instead of staying in a detention center, he decided to put on an ankle monitor and then go out and be what they now refer to as an absconder. He is absconded, and ICE has put him on the list to seek him out and detain him. But I thought he cracked the system. I thought he was coaching other people how to crack the system. I thought he had it going on. Now he got himself a whole big old dose of some more of that karma. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I got several more of these we're going to take to the top of the hour. They're just a hoot, man. I look at it and go, like, what happened? Jon Stewart mocking Trump about the valuation of his property? Did Jon Stewart just get caught overvaluing his property? How about this? How about the Vanderbilt students who wanted to boycott, and they got boycotted and kicked out of school? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, just got a text. All of you folks that commute on I-65, you might want to find another route or check Waze or some other app to tell you what's going on. Just got a text from Jeff from Indiana. Says that I-65 northbound is shut down between Hartselle and Priceville. I don't know what's happened. I'm assuming an accident of some kind. But he says it is shut down between Hartselle and Priceville. So in the northern part of the state, north of Cullman, you're looking at I-65 being a place you don't want to be right now if you're heading north. Thank you, Jeff. Good luck to you, man. Keith from Parts Unknown says, why is it that all that squatting never seems to be done in the rural South? Just a thought. Oh, well... It is, though, brother. I'm just telling you. Not as prolific as in other places because of their laws being so lax, but it still happens. Marie from Madison says, speaking of Trump's many lawsuits, the New York Post had a story about, that's where I'm headed next. You're taking my story. Marie from Madison, you are on it. Let's talk about some karma right now. All right, listen, here's the thing. Jon Stewart, comedian slash pundit slash uber liberal, Jon Stewart, who once had the audacity to pronounce, the thing about a moral compass is you take it out and check it from time to time, as he accused Donald Trump, you know, for allegedly overinflating his real estate. Well, the news broke that after John Stewart made hay about Donald Trump, that, oh, by the way, the New York Post is now reporting that it appears that John Stewart has overvalued his own New York City penthouse by 829%. 829%! Said it was reported that Stewart allegedly overvalued his New York City penthouse, which he sold in 2014 for $17.5 million. New York Post says records show that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on the assessor valuation price, precisely what he called out Trump for doing in his Monday monologue. This very week? Oh, wait. You mean this very week he called out Trump, and it turns out that the records clearly indicate he did the exact same thing. The Post also noted that the New York assessor's valuation on Stewart's penthouse was the exact same citation method and metric that had been used by New York Attorney General Letitia James to assess Trump's private and personal properties. So Stewart has now been caught and called on the carpet, and what we're looking at here is just a big old dose of karma. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Was the laughter going? I didn't hear the laughter. Mm-hmm. Play me some laughter again, just in case, just by itself. Just I like the laugh track. This makes me happy. God, that guy's got emphysema. How about this? You ever watch when Democrats try and do something and they don't want anybody to know? Like they're trying to get something like, don't put us on the record. We don't want to be on the record. Just don't let it happen. Republican Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty applauded Elon Musk for reposting his post that exposed Democrats' decision to reject the amendment that appeared this past week. The amendment, by the way, was pretty simple. Stop using federal dollars to fly illegals into the country. You may have heard about the situation where the Haitian illegal immigrant was brought in by the Trump administration, by the Biden administration, direct from Haiti. Gave him a flight direct from Haiti because he said he felt threatened by his environment. Well, I guess so. Everybody feels threatened in Haiti. Does that mean we have to import them all here? He's now been indicted for murder. The GOP senator said he was shocked when Democrats overwhelmingly rejected any such amendment that would stop public dollars being spent to fly chartered flights for undocumented immigrants into the country. But Chuck Schumer wasn't going to allow it come to a vote. He was, not putting it on the calendar. It was not going to be on the floor. It was finally they got to the floor, but Schumer was able to delay it until like 1:30 in the morning. So it could maybe just kind of fly under the radar and people wouldn't see it. Until Elon Musk decided to go ahead and post it and out him. So on the one hand, Schumer thought they would get away with it and no one would pay any attention. But on the other, you got a big old healthy dose of what happens when free speech is actually allowed to be free. Like, oh, I don't know, on Elon Musk's version of Twitter. And that, my friends, is karma. All right, we're heading towards a break. We'll come right back from this break and wrap this thing up and move on to the next topic. But don't forget, coming up at 3:30, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah, we cover down on all of it, like the dude just said. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. By the way, that interstate shutdown on I-65 North between Hartselle and Priceville, we've been told is shut down. Keep that in mind if you're commuting today. We just got a texter, and please forgive me, I may be mangling your name. I believe it's pronounced Snitsana from Hartselle, said that what we're looking at is a multi-vehicle crash on I-65 at the Bethel Crossing. So that's where it is. And again, Snitsana, if I'm mispronouncing your name, you're welcome to type in how it should be pronounced, but that's what I'm seeing on the screen. So thank you very much for letting us know, though. Teresa from Town Creek says, don't you just love karma? Yes, I do. Let me give you one more before I change topics, because I won't go into all the ones I got, but this one was just good. We hear all the time about college campuses and the anti-Semitism and the things that happen, and, you know, and the protests and, you know, Jewish students having to lock themselves in the library and yada, yada. Well, I got news. Vanderbilt ain't playing, and I am so glad. So on Vandy's campus, just a story here on Fox News came out yesterday. Vanderbilt students arrested and suspended at a rowdy protest over anti-Israel ballot initiatives. So let me make sure y'all understand what just happened. At the Ivy League School of the South, not really, but sort of, Vanderbilt, in Nashville, students decided they wanted to vote as part of the Student Government Association's constitution. They wanted an amendment that would prohibit any student funds going to any business that supports Israel. I kid you not. Right there on our campus in Vandy in Nashville. In the South. They want to go in the South, where we care deeply about our relationship with Israel, where we are typically pro-Israel. All these Vandy students, they wanted to go into the BDS movement, the whole boycott, divest, and sanction movement. That's what they're doing. So they locked arms and they had a sit-in. They took over the dean's office, Chancellor Daniel Durmeyer's office, to have their big sit-in, about 30 of them. About 30 more stood on the steps outside. And then they started pushing around a security guard. That didn't go over very well. All protest participants have now been placed on suspension and were made to leave the campus. And that, my friends, is a healthy dose of karma. Yeah. Yeah, they asked for a boycott and they got boycotted by the school. I love that. Thank you, Vanderbilt, for taking action and not letting the inmates, run the asylum, because that's what we see too often on campuses these days, is where it looks absolutely like there is a complete disregard for rules and discipline and law and order and common sense. And Vandy said, you know what? You have a First Amendment right. In fact, they were even told, you're violating our First Amendment rights. No, actually, we're not. You were disorderly and on campus, and you violated student rules. And guess what? You're out of here. I'm pretty sure there's a few parents that are going, you did what? Yeah, we pay how much for you to go to Vandy, and you did what? Yeah, no kidding.